We were designed to hunger for the deep things of God, to thrive on faith and wonder, to seek out divine wisdom that defies human logic. We were designed to unlock the mysteries of God. This is Breathing Underwater. Margot here. You are listening to episode 54 of Breathing Underwater. Today we have part two of my conversation with Naomi Gross. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, I highly recommend that you go back and do that. It was awesome. Today we are going to co-interpret a dream that was emailed in at the end of the episode. And the rest of the time, I am going to really just pick her brain and glean from her wisdom. I'm going to ask my questions. I'm going to ask your questions. So let's all just get prepared to take notes and to receive many, many nuggets of wisdom. We're back. Naomi, thank you again for being here. Are you ready to jump into some?
Yep.
She's like born ready.
Yep.
Well, just in case they didn't hear the last one, I know that you have been dreaming since you were a kid.
Correct.
When did you feel like you started to interpret in a more strategic or organized fashion rather than just, you know, having an interpretation, but you actually found a process to it?
I think probably by the age of 15, I started having dreams about my church, and I felt like God was delivering a message, not just to me, but also to them. And we had an open mic at church, and people could share prophetic, like, insight or words or dreams. So oftentimes I felt the Holy Spirit push me, and then I shared the dream, but it was not always positive. People weren't able to receive it from a young girl. And they were like, we had like people, psychiatrists, and they were like, you're sharing too much of yourself and this is not the Lord. And that was hard really, because I knew it was the Lord. Wow. And for me, it was, they rejected the word of God. It wasn't so much about me, you know, but it was hard that they weren't able to receive. But I think I learned a valuable lesson. You are the giver of the word, and how people receive it, that's their responsibility. And it's also the pastor's responsibility to act on it. Wow. And but it's challenging. I just went to Germany and brought one of my dream journals back home. And I thought I might have like three or four, but I found like 12 books.
Oh,
yeah. And they're not like teeny tiny ones. They're like, and I'm just reading it right now. And there's dream after dream after dream. I think I didn't understand every part. And I probably still don't to this day. Whenever I have a dream, I'm able to probably interpret 80%.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always, I don't know if you can put it in percentage, but I think there's always mystery to it, because God wants us to press in, seek Him, seek the conversation, and find out more. And some stuff is not for now. It's for the future. And
so true.
Yeah.
So true. Have you found that there's, and I mean, I think this kind of just comes with intimacy, and sometimes it's plain and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we just find out also as things unfold. Have you found any signs in your dreams to recognize in the moment, like, oh, this is for the future, or this is applying to now? Do you have any way of knowing that?
That's really difficult, actually. And that's one area I would like to grow in. Because whenever I have a future dream or a God dream, it feels like it's a now word. And I've had dreams about the coming revival, and I haven't seen them fulfilled yet. And I think sometimes it takes years and years and years, maybe even decades, for them to come true. And it's really important to still hold on to them and not think, you know, okay, then it wasn't true.
Yeah.
And the timing of God is interesting. And I heard some John Paul Jackson words about the season we're in right now. And he gave this word, I don't know, 14 years ago or so.
Wow.
And he also thought that it would be, and then it would happen in the next 10 years. And it didn't, praise God. And I sometimes wonder if it's the grace of God to delay things to give people more time to respond to his word. I don't know, but that's definitely an area I would love to grow in.
Gosh, me too. It reminds me, I had an episode right after the new year. I love Epiphany and I love the story of the Magi coming to Jesus. And I was just studying it a little bit more this year and how they believe that it's very possible that the Magi that showed up for Jesus actually came from the line of the Magi that were Daniel's order, right? And I just thought, how fascinating that these men had these prophecies from Daniel. 400 years. And how easily we get deterred when it's been a month and the thing hasn't happened, or just how God sees timing so differently than we do because he sees such a big picture. So anyway, what do you feel like is the most common mistake you find other people making when they're interpreting their own dream or others? And what's a big mistake that you've made in the past interpreting?
So I think there are several things that I see from training students. Not like if you can't see the interpretation at first or at once, that you feel like I don't know what this means and I give up. I had a student a few weeks ago, and I gave him a dream, an email dream that someone sent in, and it was about a tree, and the tree was planted in a basement, and the tree wasn't healthy. And he sat with the dream for a week, and he just gave it back to me without any information, and he wasn't able to go deeper. And I think, you know, that oftentimes happens to us when we are like, I don't know what dreams mean, so I'm stuck. And I think you should always start with trying to interpret the symbols. And we turn to the Bible for interpretation. And I would, you know, encourage everyone, if you don't know what trees mean, don't look it up on Google, because we want biblical interpretation. So I would, you know, start with where do I find trees in the Bible? And it starts in Genesis 2 with the tree of life. And then it goes all the way through the Bible till Revelations 22, and there's the tree of life again. But it feels like in this case, the tree of life doesn't fit, you know, it was
The
an
basement,
unhealthy
not
tree.
healthy.
So yeah. But then, you know, when we look through the Bible, we will find King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream about a tree that was cut down by an angel, and the dream was actually about him. So we see that in the Bible, trees can represent influential leaders. And it
Yes.
could be like you have to find out to which area this dream is speaking. Is it like a church leader? Is it your boss at work? Is it a political figure? And I failed when I interpreted the dream that it's his church leader, and
Wow.
that his church leader is like confined in an unhealthy environment with no sunlight, no wind, no rain. The tree was unhealthy and needed to be replanted. And there's more to it, but I would highly encourage everyone, you know, that's one common mistake that I see, that people try to get the full picture, and if they can see it at once, they give up. And it's like, I don't know what trees mean, so I don't get the meaning of it. And the second one, in my experience, is that people focus too much on the details. They like map out the dream, and then they go into every detail, and they're so detail focused that they miss the bigger picture. They're unable to summarize it. And when they like, it's like, you know, yeah, there was a rainbow. Rainbows mean this. There was a cloud. Clouds mean this. There was a tree. And then they fail to summarize it and see, they're so focused on the details that they don't see the bigger meaning.
And it can
And
get confusing and convoluted that way, I think, right?
yes. And it's like, you know, I would highly encourage you to like map the dream, interpret the details, but then try to see the bigger picture, what God tries to communicate, and then write the interpretation. And yes, explain the details, but explain the details in the interpretation, and not like first tree, candle, rainbow, and then give the explanation. Try to interpret it, and in the interpretation, interpret the details or explain the details. That really helps, because you can get so caught up and can't see the bigger picture. It's just, there are too many puzzle pieces and you cannot put them together. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that if a detail, if you take a detail out and the interpretation doesn't change, the detail is not important. It's really important, especially if you start interpreting dreams, to focus on a few details, not on everything. Once the area that the dream is addressing, you can interpret the other details. And that's also a common mistake that people try to interpret the first third of the dream, and they get it right, and they're so proud of themselves, and they're like, "Yay!" And but you have to read the full dream and interpret the full dream. I had a team at the beginning of the school year, and they interpreted a dream. They got the first third, or let's say 30% right, but the main and most important detail, the key element, was in the last sentence, and it was about money. And they didn't address the detail of money at all, and then they missed it altogether. Even though the first 30% were good, the key element was missing. So it's like, sometimes it's difficult, especially when you're a beginner and a learner, to like see bring all the puzzle pieces together and see the bigger picture. But don't be discouraged. Don't stop, after the first 30%. Try to implement all the details. And as I said before, if you can take one detail out and it doesn't change the story, then it's not an important detail. But if it does, it could be the key element. And you don't want to miss the key element because it changes the whole interpretation.
Unlocks it. Yep.
Yep.
Unlocks it.
Something else I found is that people think they need a lot of books. And I had someone last week, she talked to me and told me that she got four more books. And I was like, what for? I mean, I love it when people are hungry and educate themselves and read about dreams. That's really important. But you don't need a ton of books to interpret dreams. You need the Bible and you need the Holy
Holy
Spirit.
Spirit.
And she was like, yeah, because different books have different elements in them and explain different symbols. And I understand, but you shouldn't rely on books. You should really rely on Holy Spirit and the Bible, and try to interpret from there. And I still encourage you to buy books and read books about dream interpretation, but you don't need a ton of books to really interpret.
Don't let the books become what you're relying on. Let it be the Holy Spirit. And then if the books add, sometimes they unlock something and you're like, oh, that was helpful. But I have found that they can also kind of convolute also, where you're like, oh, but this is what this book says about it. And it kind of adds a different layer that's not actually in the dream.
Oftentimes, people treat dreams like a cookie cutter approach. They're just, they're looking for information and they're like, what does this dream say? Am I supposed to do this or that? Does the dream say yes or no? Just give me the information. And it's like we're treating dreams like just a piece of information. And to me, this really feels like, people who read their horoscope, they're just looking, should I cut my hair today? Should I travel? Should I stay? Should I marry? Is this the season to this or that? And really, if you treat a dream like this, you've really missed it because dreams are really all about relationship. And it's the opposite of why God gave you this dream. He's giving you this dream and he's hiding things from you so that you search him out and search for the for you know that the little bits and bites that he threw at you, that you get hungry for more of him. And it's really about relationship. And I think oftentimes there is mystery, as I said, because he really wants us to sit down with him, seek him, and grow in our relationship with him. And it's not about information, or let's say it's not just about information. There, of course, is information in dreams. But that's one thing why I really like to train people in dream interpretation, because I don't want them to become dependent on me whenever they have a dream. Just give me the information, when in reality, it's all about relationship and it's not just about information. And if you like have a dream interpreter who has to help you every time, you really miss the whole point of getting closer to God, getting to know him better, getting to know his heart better, and his plans for your life. And Yeah, so I think that is really a common mistake, and we need to value dreams and see them as an invitation to grow in our relationship with the Lord, really.
I could not agree more. Intimacy over information. That's one of my mottos. I know I kind of asked this before, but
I have one more.
oh goodness. Okay, go for
Okay, and then another common mistake is that people
it.
think that the dream is for their city, for their nation, for their country, when in reality it's really for them.
For them.
Yeah. And I think, 80% of our dreams are really about us. And if you think that's an information for your church, it could be, but then you miss really the intimate touch from God. Because you're like, you're not receiving the intimate touch because you think it's for someone else, it's for your country, it's for your nation. And I think intercessory dreams are like this, and God's inviting you to pray and stand in the gap. But it's so interesting and so funny. I had someone send in a dream, and she felt like it was about Hollywood, but Hollywood wasn't even in the dream, and the dream was all about her. So it was like, okay, why do you think Hollywood? Because it isn't even in the dream. And so oftentimes I think, dreams are prophetic, and we should treat them as prophetic. But it's okay if it's just speaking to us, because God
Yes.
wants to kiss us, and He's like, "I see you, I know you, I have good plans for you." And treat them as a prophetic word, and value them. And yeah, I think we have to keep in mind that most of the dreams are really speaking to us, because God sees us, and He wants to touch us intimately, and get into a conversation with us, and then grow our relationship really.
Well, to continue on, you just mentioned that 80% of our dreams are really about us, and I have found that to absolutely be true. And then there are
Maybe it's,
times
sorry, maybe it's even 98%.
98%, let's do it. Well, I think it's safest to default that it's about you and just d interpret that way. And then if it ends up not being, then God can let you know that, but it's safer to go that way than to interpret it's not about you and miss something that he's wanting to speak to your heart. When we talk about intercessory dreams, I think it might be a little different person to person, but I have heard it taught and have found this to be pretty consistently true in my dream life, where there is something for me to see or witness or know about in order to pray. I'm often not doing a lot of interacting in the dream. I'm mostly kind of observing and witnessing, or I'm someplace and people will come there and I will hear their conversation. And so that's an indicator to me, oh, this isn't about me. This is definitely something God wants me to see so that I can pray into. Is that how intercessory dreams are for you? Are you often not interacting in the dream at all, or do you show up partway through? What is it like to you?
So I'm most of the times an observer. I'm either looking down on the scene, or I'm actually in the scene, but I'm not playing a part. I'm just, walking alongside the people, and I see what they're doing. I see what they're thinking. I see their conversations. And yeah, if I'm not actively participating in the dream, I know it's about intercession. And remember, I had one dream, and one of my good friends was had died in the dream, and it was his funeral. And I was the only person crying and crying and crying. All the other people seemed to be fine, but they couldn't see me. And so I knew I have to pray for him. Something is coming to an end. It was the season of COVID, and his he had a company, and he had to close and shut down his company. And so I knew something was coming to an end, but because God showed me the dream, I knew He had something good for him as well. And but it was interesting, because his wife normally is very emotional, and she cries over everything. And it was interesting that she wasn't crying in the
Yeah.
dream. She was fine. And that was also an important information for me, that God will take care of her heart and she'll be fine. And it was interesting that I was the only person at the funeral crying.
So
So
that's kind of an
I was there,
intercessory
yeah,
sign.
and I was there, and I was like active because I was crying, but no one could see me, so I was still an observer.
Oh, I love that. That's just reminding me, actually, I was sitting with a gal the other day who thought it was an intercessory dream. I don't think it is. I think it ended up being more of a demonic or kind of soul dream, but she was in a space where she was opening doors and seeing like Native American kind of people slash ghosts in a house. And she was running around trying to alert people and wake up her family and get people out of the house. But it was a very stressful dream, and it definitely felt, she was very active in it. She was doing all the activities. So she was like, "Do you think that's an intercessory dream?" And my sense was, "No, I don't think it's an intercessory dream. Maybe there is something to pray about, you know, after seeing this." What's your take, even just hearing that? Does that sound like an intercessory dream to you?
Well, I would say, houses normally represent the dreamer's life. So for me, it's like, where is she opening doors that she really needs to close so that there is no access of for weird spirits to come and enter and mess up her family life? Would be.
Could be. Okay. The fact that it was so negative, you know, at least I have found in my dreams where the emotion is really negative, is there's a demonic influence, or it's definitely like an intense soul experience. And I'm like, I don't feel the Lord in this. But that actually leads me to my next question, as I know you have a lot of warning dreams, warnings for you, warnings for other people. Some people teach that, you know, warning dreams for the Lord, even if something negative is happening, the emotion can be neutral, right? Or even positive. Do you find in your warning dreams that the emotion is pretty consistently neutral or not so much?
I think, there are two types of warning dreams. There are warning dreams from the enemy and warning dreams from God. So it depends on, is it from God or is it from the enemy? And let's start with the enemy. If it's the enemy, there's a lot of fear. And in my experience, whenever I'm in a new season and about to step into something new, oftentimes I have warning dreams. And I know these guys. It's either three men, tiny men and with guns, and they will try to kill me, or it's two or three elderly women that will try to poison me, and that will tell me, if you move forward, if you come into our area, something bad will happen to you, and you better not continue your walk with the Lord, or you stay in this area that we have assigned you and we're comfortable with. So these dreams are pretty stressful and they're pretty negative, and they're like, you wake up and you're like like this, because but still, I'm not listening to them. I'm like, who are you? I'm with the Lord Almighty and he will protect me, and I'm not afraid, because I know he's my shield and he's my rock and he will be with me. And then the other warning dreams from God, I think it could be I'm not sure if I would say negative, but there's this pressing feeling of urgency that I need to act
Pressing.
on, I really need to, there's this urgency and I need to act now and I shouldn't waste any time. I have to move. I have to do something, whether it's prayer, whether I have to make a decision, whether I need to be careful. There is this urgency, and sometimes it feels like, oops, because God will show you the output if you don't do it, and that's the warning, and you feel like, ooh, that's negative. When in reality, it's like protection, because he's telling you ahead of time that you have to prepare for this situation, be careful, and not do this or that, or do this and that, where you feel like, yeah, I'm comfortable, I don't want to move at all. So I'm not sure if I would use the term negative, but I would definitely say there's an urgency to act and respond to God.
That is great differentiation. I love that language. I think that's going to be really helpful.
I think also, when you wake up, how do you feel? If you feel discouraged, it was probably the enemy who tries to drain you and run you in fear and doubt and worry. And that's not the Lord. I
Yeah,
feel
that's good.
like God's goodness is leading us to repentance, and we do repent, but it's his goodness that's like, oh, I need to do this. I'm wrong. I have to correct my path, whatever. But if you feel condemned, or if you wake up and you're like, then it's probably not from the Lord. But I have to say that I had God dreams that felt negative at first, like the one I shared last time with the prayer strategy, the prophetic prayer strategy. My kids died in the dream first.
That's right.
And it seemed to be very negative. And I think we need to be careful that when we have enemy dreams, we need to flip them. We need to find out, God, what's your plan? We can't, just, flush them and try to get rid of them, because oftentimes they also give us, like, soul dreams, important information. And it's about whether, how the enemy, what his strategies are, or how he wants to move against us, or what he's thinking about us. It's not important what he's thinking, but then we need to, like, take the reality and, hold the reality, the truth, to the against the lies of the enemy. And it's important that we partner with the truth of God and not get intimidated and not see things from a ground perspective, but from a heavenly perspective. So even if there's a negative dream, God is a redeemer. He wants to redeem everything. He wants to redeem the dreams. And even if the enemy is trying to tell you this is what your life looks like, or this is what's, ahead of you, or what's awaiting you in the future, it's always important to partner with what God is saying and release his truths and his, like, prophetic words over our life.
I can't, we kind of touched on this, the ratio of what ratio of your dreams, let's ask that, do you find are for the future versus now? Is it more for the future or is it more current?
I would say 80% are for now, but like I said before, is now today, tomorrow, or next month, or is it a couple of months? And if it's a couple of months, is it future or is it now? For me, I'm more a person who thinks in seasons, not necessarily 2024, but I'm now in a season, and I'm not sure how long the season will, be and when it will end, but I'm just flowing with the spirit, because God's not bound to time. So I don't want to be either, and I want to receive what he has for me in this season. And I would say 20% of my dreams are about the future, but future in my case means several years, probably decades. I haven't seen them come to pass yet, but I know they will. And it's interesting that God's allowing us to see things even though we don't understand it and we can't put it in context, really. He's still sharing it with us. And I think that's one thing that we always try to make sense out of things. We always try to understand when he's just, I once had a dream and I saw a war of angels and demons, and they were just light, and it was flickering, and there was yellow light and blue light, and it was pretty intense. It was extreme. And but at no time I was, like, worried, or like, I knew the angels would win. It was obvious, but the fight was there and it was intense and it took a long time, and I didn't really understand everything. And when I woke up, I was like, okay, God, because we feel we always need to respond. And I was like, what do you want me to do with this information or with this insight or whatever? And he's like, nothing. I just shared this with you because you're my friend and I wanted you to know. And it was interesting because he shared something with me and he wanted me to know, even though I didn't understand. But I was like, okay, I agree with you, Lord, whatever. Amen. And so it's like, yeah, I think, you asked me before in which areas I want to grow. And I think I really want to grow in it. In understanding times, but sometimes I feel it's also protection to not know everything. And yeah, Margo, what are areas you would like to grow in? And
Oh, I would like to grow in all of the areas. I feel I'm just wanting more revelation, deeper revelation, even more kind of spontaneous, prophetic revelation in the moment. I just want more of that. I want to be able to see it more quickly, but I would also love, I don't have a ton of dreams, like it's heavenly encounter dreams. I would love those.
yeah, they're
I would
one.
love those. And I've been praying for those for a while. It's not that I haven't had them. I have, but they're very few and far between. I have a lot more discernment dreams. I have a lot of soul dreams. I have a lot of prophetic dreams too, but they don't feel like, wow, I was just in the courtrooms of heaven, or I was just in the vaults of heaven, or I was just face to face with Jesus. oftentimes they don't feel that way. I've had a few that feel like that, but I want more. I want to go into heavenly places. I want to search through
That's awesome. Yeah.
the rooms. So that's yes,
Let's
more for
go.
that. God, both of us, please. But I love all the dreams, and I have definitely learned to value all of them. On that note, and because of time, let's jump into a dream if you're up for it. So this dream was emailed in to me, and it was the dreamer is a woman, and it involves her and her husband. So I'll read it, and then we can go from there. She named the dream transition slash family. I asked her about the emotions, and she said she wasn't really emotionally engaged in the dream, but she felt like more of an observer, especially in the second part. So, someone had just recently chartered, well, let me just read it from her perspective. Someone chartered my husband and I a private jet. A toddler slash baby was beside me on the seat. The oxygen masks came down as we were in a nosedive, so I put mine on and put the other one on the baby or toddler, but they didn't seem to need it as the baby was fine. Then we safely landed and went into our third-born son's house that he and his wife own. This is where she says she doesn't really remember being a part of it, but she was observing more. All of our sons and his wife's friends were there. My husband asked someone's wife who was sitting with him on the couch, "How is everyone related?" But she got offended and got up. During the dream, a guy went through a door to go to the bathroom. Then a woman opened the door to help him since he didn't know where the bathroom was. She opened the door and said, "It's through the parents' room," which was filled with the parents' belongings, personal belongings. Then my husband received a text message from a dad of someone in the room with the last name that was a Jewish name. The end.
Interesting.
Very interesting, especially because the first part she was definitely involved in, and then not the second part, but it was all one dream.
I think I didn't get the last part with the couch. Who spoke?
Yeah, that was a little confusing. So, they were in their third-born son's home that he and his wife own. All of their sons were there, and the wife's friends were there. And her husband asked someone's wife,
Someone's wife. Okay.
yep, who was sitting with him on the couch, "How is everyone related?" But she got offended and got up.
I like the first part really with the chip and the toddler. It feels like there's something new on their way, you know. It's like an upgrade with the prophetic with the chit and
Ooh.
yeah. I like that. I like that part. But
Me
I think the
too.
second part is good too. But yeah, it feels like God's calling them to go, you know, higher. God's calling them higher to sit with him in heavenly places and grow in their prophetic gift, really. It feels like the baby represents something new that God has entrusted them. And I think vehicles could represent a ministry. And a baby is like new beginnings, something that's already been born, but you know, you'll take baby steps, and it feels like, yeah, I think with the oxygen mask, it feels like we need them when we can't breathe. And it feels like, you know, something's trying to suffocate us. And, but the baby didn't need the oxygen mask. So the baby is safe, and you can relax whenever you feel like someone's trying to end this or like, you know.
What do you think about the jet being in a nosedive?
Well, I think, you know, if you start something and you don't know how to fly yet, it could, you know, there could be some trouble.
But not to worry about it because the baby was fine and they landed safely.
Fine, and they landed safely. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, if there are like ups and downs, and don't worry about it. God said, God told you in the dream you'll be safe, and you are.
I love that. And then there's the second part. They landed safely, and she then was around, but she wasn't interacting at all. And it was mostly her husband.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that all her sons were there. And to me, it feels like they could be symbolic, but I think there's a family thing that will involve her sons as well and their wives, and even their friends. And I think it's interesting that someone asked for the bathroom, so something needs to be like washed off, cleansed, flushed. Maybe it's like a way of thinking they used to think. I think interestingly, did the woman say the woman showed him the way, right? Or was the
Yeah. Yep. These are both people that weren't named. Like a guy went through a door to go to the bathroom, then a woman opened the door to help him since he didn't know where it was. And she said, it's through the parents' room, which was filled with their personal belongings.
Yeah, and I think it's through the p parents' door is really interesting. So I feel the parents will be the door for their sons and friends and wives, and they will usher in something new, but something needs to be flushed out as well. And
Good.
maybe it's an old way of thinking. Maybe it's like teaching, you know, they have received in the past about the prophetic. I don't know. I would say they would have to sit with Holy Spirit and pray into this, like, what is this we need to get rid of? Because I feel like it starts with the parents and God's entrusting them with something new, but it will affect the whole family. It will affect their sons. And but the parents will be the door. They will, you know, open the door for others. And you know, the woman could be someone who's alongside them. It could be an angel. It,
Yeah.
but I feel like, you
Be
know,
wisdom.
yeah, it could be wisdom, yeah. But it feels like they won't be alone in this journey. God's like placing people alongside them to come alongside them. And what are your thoughts, Margot?
Yeah. I love that. I love how you unfolded that through the parents' store. I loved how you kept that going. It's such a good example of how these parts of the dreams feel really separate, but they're definitely, it's the same dream. They're related. They're connected. They're talking about the same thing. I loved that. You know, I really similarly just felt like maybe this was a heads up that there was going to be some stuff to navigate with family. You know, the woman being offended by asking how people were related, and then this whole thing about the Jewish dad at the end. I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And I think these are examples of details that may or may not really play into the interpretation, but might be fun to dig into. And I definitely had a moment as well where I thought, well, if the husband is symbolic in this, which I think he's literal and could also be symbolic, maybe if we're talking about Jesus as the husband here, and he's the one having conversation with this woman who gets offended. I just think about how scripture talks about Jesus being the stone that became a stumbling block to many, right? And how even at the end here, there was a text that came from a man with a Jewish last name, and that scripture actually talks about how there are Jews who have stumbled over Christ. Like they just don't believe it. They're actually offended by him, right? And he's the rock of offense. So I just felt like there was a little connection there. And I don't know what that will end up looking like, but maybe God's actually going to bring them into a Jewish community. Maybe there's actually going to be something literally along those lines. Or maybe God's just giving them the heads up, like there's going to be some stuff to deal with in the family, some things that need to be flushed, and there might be some offense.
And maybe they have a Jewish background. Maybe
Maybe they have a Jewish background.
they're Messianic Jews who have an assignment for Jews, you know, to
Totally.
bring them back home. And people will be offended. And I think we're in a season with a lot of anti-Semitism, and maybe, you know, God's sending them to address this issue and to, yes, take a stand.
Well, I think that's that, and we'll just release that to them. She'll be listening to the podcast, I'm sure, and I'll hopefully get some feedback and we can bring it back around. Thank you so much for coming back, Naomi. I love your voice. It's such an honor to have you. Is there anything else you want to say before we close?
Dreams.
Sweet dreams. You know what? I always say happy dreaming, but I like sweet dreams. We'll say that this time.